in a series of programs entitled Exploring Your State. These programs are heard in the 4th, 5th of Kanawha County Schools. Today's program is entitled Lewis Wetzel, as written by Calvert Armbrecht. And now, here is your narrator, Ned Scaff. On a bright morning in the year 1764, a group of Pennsylvania farm folks stood gathered around a wagon hitched to two oxen and piled high with family belongings. They had come to say goodbye to their neighbor, John Wetzel, who with his wife and four children and a few other families was preparing to leave Lancaster County and cross the Allegheny Mountains in search of opportunity and a new home. 7-year-old Martin sat on the seat beside his father, while Mrs. Wetzel made herself as comfortable as possible in the wagon bed with the two smaller children and the baby, Lewis. The neighbors crowded around, full of advice and warnings.
Such a long, hard trip.
Are you not afraid of the Indians, John?
The Indians are humans, only men like ourselves, less than ourselves because of their ignorance and treachery.
You're going away from everything you know, the wild lands that you do not know. You leave a house for no house, your wife, your children, your baby. What will become of them?
Stay here, this baby Lewis will always be as poor as I am.
Poor little Lewis. The Indians will eat him.
Or he will eat the Indians. No, I've made up my mind, and there's no more time to waste. Get up!
Well, I wish them luck, but I doubt that they'll have it.
The route across the Alleghenies was long and hard indeed, and Mrs. Wetzel, clutching the baby Lewis to her, must have wondered what was in store for them. All too soon, the little wagon train discovered evidence of the Indian savagery which their neighbors had predicted, and which would, from then on, menace their daily lives. One day, at the end of a hard climb, they saw a column of smoke rising ahead, and expecting to find a friendly settler's cabin and anxious to see people again, they hurried on. Instead, they reached a clearing to find a heap of smoking embers where a cabin had stood, and nearby the body of a settler, tomahawked in the act of sharpening fence posts. But John Wetzel was a stubborn Dutchman to whom fear was a stranger. When the group finally reached the settlement at what is now Wheeling, West Virginia, where they had planned to remain, he refused to stay. He had come this long way to find space and air, and he pushed on until he found a spot more to his liking. On Big Wheeling Creek, in what is now Marshall County, there, beyond reach of help from the fort, and exposed on all sides to Indian attacks, he built his solitary cabin. Time passed and the family grew and prospered, in spite of hostile Indians and the scourge of smallpox. Eventually, there were 7 Wetzel children, and they formed a snug little settlement of their own. The 5 Wetzel sons grew to be as fearless as their father, but it was Lewis, the baby in the wagon, whose bold, solitary spirit was most akin to the wilderness. Lewis was only 13 when the Revolutionary War broke out. He begged for permission to go and fight, but his father firmly refused. However, Lewis was soon to learn there was no need to leave home to find adventure. Indian attacks along the frontier were growing ever bolder. And legend has it that Lewis, though still a boy, raised his clenched fist and made a vow.
I swear to kill every Indian that crosses my path, so long as God lets me live.
Lewis did not forget his hatred or his oath in the routine of daily life. In a frontier community, every man was an athlete, a crack shot, and an expert woodsman. But Lewis learned to surpass all others. He spent every spare moment in some occupation that trained him to hunt wild animals or wilder men. It was said that he could drive a nail with a bullet from as far as he could see it. and he even learned to reload his gun while running at top speed. He was 16 when he killed his first Indian. The Revolutionary War was still raging, and Indian devastation along the frontier was becoming constantly more frequent and savage. Finally, the settlers of the region held an assembly at Wheeling to name scouts to help protect their home. The services of these scouts were to be voluntary. Their only pay would be the satisfaction of serving their fellow settlers and the pleasure, if any, of hunting Indians. Lewis was considered far too young for such dangerous work, but after much pleading, he managed to convince the assembly that he was experienced and cunning enough for the job. So, shouldering his gun and bidding his family farewell, he set out through the shadows of the forest. At 17 years of age, Lewis Wetzel had entered on his life work, killing Indians. As time passed, the scout's fame increased. He was with the defenders of Fort Henry during the famous siege in 1782, one of the most important battles between Indians and whites on the frontier, and he played a major part in the defense of Fort Beeler in what is now Marshall County, West Virginia. Then, for long periods, he would vanish into the forest, a man with a mission to hunt down the hated red man. But finally, even Lewis Wetzel killed one Indian too many. One day he spied a large Indian riding boldly toward Fort Harmer at what is now Marietta, Ohio. As was his custom, Wetzel ambushed the brave and shot him, not knowing the Indian was on a peace mission to General Harmer. General Harmer was infuriated.
So this is how my efforts for peace are regarded. Captain Kingsbury, take a group of picked men and go to Mingo Bottom. Lewis Wetzel is there, and I want him dead or alive. I'll make an example of the murderer.
But Captain Kingsbury was faced with a threat.
Captain Kingsbury?
I'm Major McMahon. I've been with the Mingo Bottom settlers, and I feel I must warn you. If you persist in your efforts to take Wetzel, you'll have every settler in the country upon you.
Captain Kingsbury withdrew temporarily, but shortly afterwards, he found an opportunity to capture Wetzel while he was asleep. The scout was taken to the fort, manacled hand and foot with iron fetters, and thrown into prison. Used to the freedom of the forest, Wetzel paced his cell like a caged animal. He could not believe that killing an Indian could be considered a crime.
General Harmer, do you really mean to try me for killing an Indian?
Wetzel, I mean to stop this wholesale slaughter along the frontier. You kill that Indian in cold blood.
One less savage to attack our settlement.
I'll admit that the Indians aren't very nice nations. But did it ever occur to you, Wetzel, that we're taking their land from them?
They were wasting it, General. They have no claim on something they don't use.
They are ignorant and savage, but their contact with the whites hasn't improved. We've given them liquor and guns. Let dishonest traders take advantage of them.
The army sends out expeditions to kill them, and usually fail. I only kill one at a time, but my way succeeds, General.
You seem to feel what you did was not justifiable, but commendable. Conditions have been bad here, and there is something to be said for your point of view. But if we are to have civilization, we must have law, and the law must apply to white men as well as red. This is why you must be tried for murder.
Then don't let me hang. I've lived like a man. Let me die like one. Turn me loose in a circle of Indians with no weapon but my knife, and let me fight until I am killed.
Although General Harmer's mind was unchanged, he was so impressed by the scout's courage and fierce love of freedom that he ordered the fetters removed from his feet. This was all Wetzel needed. While exercising under guard, he managed to make his escape. Still handcuffed, he swam the Ohio River, where friends took him in and removed the handcuffs. Free once more, he made his way to Kentucky and resumed the life he loved in the trackless forest. Wetzel was a man of incredible patience. He could crouch all night in one position, waiting to attack a group of sleeping Indians. But General Harmer was also a patient man. His men had a standing order to recapture Lewis Wetzel, and he went about his duties, biding his time until opportunity should again put the scouts in his hands. As for Wetzel, his crime was to him a slight offense, and he took no pains to hide. A long time passed, and then one night, as he was playing his fiddle in a Kentucky barroom, a detachment of soldiers discovered him and took him prisoner again. The news spread through the valley. Petitions for his release poured in. But the general was determined. Lewis Wetzel was tried for murder before a military court, convicted and sentenced to hang. The outcry increased. Lewis's friends were determined that he should not die by hanging, and one of the most determined was a girl, Lydia Bodge. At first, the general paid them no heed. Then he began to realize that the settlers were concerned with more than Lewis Wetzel himself. To them, their way of life was at stake. In constant danger from Indian attack, they had struggled to win their land and build their home. If a man could be hanged for killing the savage who menaced them, then all they had fought for might slip away from them. At length, the authorities gave in, and Lewis Wetzel was acquitted. Legend has it that the celebration of the famed scout's release lasted 2 days, during which not an Indian showed up, nor did the smoke of a campfire cloud the sky. Then Wetzel returned to tracking Indians, more a frontier hero than ever before. To the settlers, he was never too busy to help someone in trouble, and his cunning and boldness were an inspiration to them. His fame as a scout spread beyond the Ohio Valley, and when Lewis and Clark started on their historic trip across the Rockies, they sent a messenger to Wetzel, asking him to join the expedition. He spent 4 months with the party, then returned home because the trip was too slow and unexciting for him. In later life, he went to the Southwest, where he spent 2 years in prison for passing counterfeit money which he believed genuine. He emerged from prison a changed man, and indeed the frontier itself had changed. Pleasant cottages replaced the old stockades, the Indian was subdued, and the work of an Indian hunter was no longer needed in the upper Ohio Valley. Broken in health and spirit, Lewis Wetzel migrated to Kentucky, never to return to Wheeling. In the year 1808, while visiting a cousin near Natchez, he contracted yellow fever and died. Some say he refused medicine, preferring death to a life without excitement. Lewis Wetzel was a blunt, rude man who could not even write his name. But brutal as his methods were, by helping to keep the Indians at a distance, he was a decided force in the settling of the frontier. Today, when men of greater accomplishments and intellect are forgotten, his name lives on in the region he helped to subdue. And near Wheeling, small boys still play by Wetzel's Cave, where Lewis Wetzel used to hide and gobble like a wild turkey to lure unsuspecting Indians to their doom.
WCHS and the Junior League of Charleston, in cooperation with Kanawha County Board of Education, have presented a second in the series of Exploring Your State, heard in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grades of Kanawha County Schools. Today's program was entitled Lewis Wetzel and was written by Calvert Armbrecht. Your narrator was Ned Scaff. Heard in today's cast was Nancy Blake, Bill Whiteman, George Stevens, Bill Richards, Sam Poland, and Doug Martin. The program produced by Joe Ferris. We now invite you to join us next week at the same time for another edition of Exploring Your State.